There is a relatively famous quote that I want to start with today, and it's this. It's by a British politician named Andrew Bennett. He says, "The longest journey you will ever take is the 18 inches from your head to your heart." And I'll talk this morning about the difference that those 18 inches can make. Both of our passages this morning speak of both the head and the heart, but they lift up the prime quality of heart knowledge as thankfulness or gratitude. And I want to zero in this morning on the difference that gratitude and thankfulness makes. Or said another way, what you're going to see, I think, in Colossians and then in Psalms, is that teaching, head knowledge, learning, is vitally important. It helps us know about Jesus, but it is gratitude, which comes from the heart, that helps us follow Jesus. So the head helps us know about Jesus, but the heart and gratitude helps us follow Jesus. So I want to turn to Colossians 2 with you. You can look in your Bible or look on the screen, verses 6 through 8. This is chock full of action words, right? Like receive and walk, and this image of being rooted and built up and established, and talking about being instructed. I mean, there's all this that we could work through step by step and look at each word. But I want to point out the two pieces here, and it's a both and, the parts of this that relate to our head and to learning and to knowledge, and the parts that have to do with our heart and gratitude. So if you look up here, it talks about this information, right, that you have received. If you've heard the message about Jesus Christ, the challenge is walk in him, that is, live and serve and follow Jesus. So the question is, how do you do that? I've been to church, I've been to Sunday school, I've read a little bit of the Bible, I've heard the message, I know at least a bit of who Jesus was and what he wanted, but how do I take that next step, no pun intended, to walk in him or to live a life of following Jesus? We've been talking about that for some time now in church, right, living this life of following Christ. And in verse 7, Paul even doubles down and talks about this being rooted and built, right? It's not just knowledge, but we're kind of grounded in Jesus. But the part that jumped out to me was there at the end, as if it's the key, the secret to how do you walk, how do you follow after Jesus, it's that we're overflowing with gratitude. And that's not a thing that you study in a book or learn about in a class. You may learn about it by example. I know some people in my life that are extraordinarily grateful people. And it's such a winsome quality, right, to see that. And so I do learn that from them. But gratitude itself is something your heart has to learn. And as I read this, I mean, it's a pretty typical Sunday churchy challenge, right? You've heard about Jesus, so follow Jesus. You've heard his story, now obey him, go after him. But underneath of that is that question of why, how? How do I do that? How do I do it? And I think this is the secret. Right? Gratitude is the fuel that moves me, that makes me want to go running after Jesus. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of experience where someone has done something for you or some sort of gesture, and it just kind of wells up out of you. It's like, thank you. That was really kind. Thank you. That was really thoughtful. And that feeling of real gratitude, it makes you want to do something. It makes you want to respond. It makes you want to respond in kind. And serve or help or be thoughtful or be gentle back. I also recognize that it's not like a faucet one can turn on or off. It's like, now I will be thankful, right? Here comes the feelings. But I do think that gratitude is something we can get the ball rolling with those very simple words, and this goes all the way back to childhood, right? Someone does something for you, what do you say? I'm hearing my parents' voice. What do you say, Robert? Thank you. The words, thank you, it's like it's our brain inviting our heart to open up in gratitude, right? We can choose to say the words, and we can even choose to say it and mean it. And I think that act of speaking thanks begins to open up the feeling and the heart experience of gratitude. And Colossians says that's what oils the machine of following after Jesus, is that true gratitude. Now, before we move away from Colossians, I do want to mention verse 8, which is, it's actually kind of part of the next paragraph, but it's a kind of warning, and I thought it would be useful to mention this morning, because you could swing the other way, right, and say, well, of course the heart's important, right? It's just I need to be in love with Jesus and follow Jesus, and what else do I need? Do I need to study? Do I really need to go to classes or pore over the Bible? And again, it is a both and I think this warning in the next verse illustrates one reason why the head is important, because the warning is, be careful, right, that you are not captivated by other philosophies or other promises or deception or empty offerings. Don't let your thoughts be captivated or captive by something else, but let them be captive to Christ, the scriptures say. So it is both and. Don't miss me saying that this morning. Our heads need to engage God's word and who Jesus Christ is, but our hearts do as well. Now, this passage in Colossians is not a one-off passage, and you won't find this anywhere else. I actually had chosen Psalm 100 first because it's kind of the quintessential Thanksgiving week passage. But as I looked at it, it too has this both and of head and heart, and it's even kind of sandwiched there. So I want to look at this briefly with you. It begins with emotion, right? Joy, shout joyfully. Gladness, serve with gladness. And again, those actions of worshiping God, serving God, following God, they spring forth out of the heart, right? Come before him with joyful singing. At the end, we enter into God's presence. There it is, because of gratitude, with thankfulness. We enter God's courts. We experience God through this heart experience, this heart knowledge of him. We come into his presence. But there in the middle is what we have to know, right? So it's all nice and bookended. Know that the Lord is God. Have to know that first of all. There's one God and one God alone. God is God. Know the Lord is God, and he has made us. This is actually, this is more than details about the ancient Near East or the age of the wall in Jericho. This is our identity, right? It goes all the way back to creation. Know who God is. Know that he has made you, right? In his image, and we belong to him. We are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. So it's kind of the most foundational knowledge we can have, wrapped in the invitation to let it permeate, go the 18 inches into our heart, and that erupts in praise and in song and in service and in worship and in an experience of being in God's presence. Well, Thursday, many of us will celebrate Thanksgiving. The Austell family's weird. We're going to celebrate it on Wednesday and Friday, I think, with two different families, with some travel in the middle. But many people, whether there or maybe in a workplace setting or with some friends or even alone in a journal, many people engage in that practice of, let's take a moment and say something we're thankful for. It used to annoy me as a child. Still annoys me a little bit because my dad sets us all down like we're children and we do that. But I can recognize that it's still a very, very useful exercise. And it's something you can do in the privacy of you know, solitude and write it down or just say it out loud. What are you thankful for? And I would say that is a good exercise and it's well worth doing, as Bobby said, not just on Thursday, but any day of the year. Because those words, that choice to recognize what am I thankful for, particularly with God and what God has done, that gets the ball rolling of the heart overflowing with gratitude. And what I recognize is that I can read and study about God's mercy, right? I can learn the definition of God's mercy, but it's when I have experienced it, when I have understood and responded to it with gratitude, that's what unlocks the door for me to show mercy to another person. I can read or study about God's love. I can read poetry about God's love. But until I've experienced it in my heart, that unlocks the ability to love others. And the story of Christ is the story of God's humility, right? And coming all the way down and taking on human flesh and serving humanity. Christ gave up his life for our sake. I can read about that and understand it, and I could tell the story back. But until it becomes personal and I recognize that was something God did for me, and that elicits the gratitude, that's when it unlocks my potential to serve other people, right? To lay down my will or my life or my hopes to love and serve another person. Again, it is a both and. But the reason I kind of land on it hard this morning is because in a typical room of Presbyterians, who have many of you have been in church most of your life, you have been reading and studying and listening and learning, and it's a wonder your brain doesn't explode. It's so full of facts about the Bible and God, and that is a good thing. I wouldn't trade that for anything, that richness of knowledge. But it's just folks like us, I think, need to be challenged to take that 18-inch journey and experience God in the heart, to come into the presence of God, to sing joyfully. And it's not the only way to get there, but both of these scriptures this morning say one of the keys to experience that and unlock that is gratitude. It's like it opens the heart up, right? Thank you, God. I want to close in prayer with you and give thanks with you to God. And my prayer is that not only would this be a meaningful week for you, whatever you may be doing, but it would be a good reminder of just what God's desire is for us, both in terms of knowing and loving Him and knowing and loving other people. Let's pray together. Lord, we have sung it and done so joyfully. Great are you, Lord. We have sung about and pondered and acknowledged your beauty, your glory, and your holiness, and sung, I love you, Lord, and we do. We do love you, Lord. Would you show us and remind us and keep offering us opportunities and invitations to express our thanks and to recognize our thanks and to experience our gratitude for who you are and what you've done. Lord, not because it's a task to be checked off a list, but because it ushers us into a fuller experience of you and a fuller experience of being the people you desire us to be here on earth. Would you help us to walk in Christ? And would you bless us with an experience of your presence and your joy? We pray it in the name of Jesus and in the power and the help of your Holy Spirit. Amen.